This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم صل على محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is your brother Yahya Ibrahim with another daily tafsir. We're going to be discussing the 101st chapter of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Qari'ah. It can be loosely translated to the crushing blow, the striking hour, which is reference to the day of resurrection, in particular the day of gathering, according to the Mufassirin. Once again, this is one of the Meccan surahs. It's one of the early revelations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking for mankind to be cognizant and understanding of their standing before Him, being gathered towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being questioned about everything that they have preceded them in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is part of our daily tafsir, a surah a day. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, al-qari'ah. It's a powerful way to begin in the Arabic language. It's a powerful way to begin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts a statement that is very descriptive. Al-qari'ah, meaning the crushing blow. It is the crushing blow. It is the decisive blow. It is the difficulty that will strike each and every one of you. It is an hour that no one will escape. Al-Qari'ah, the Arabic linguist, they said, Qari'ah, it's reference to taqra'u minha al-qulub, that the hearts are made empty and are vanquished by its suddenness, its tremendousness, and the fearfulness that will be experienced on that day. It's a powerful moment, powerful description. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize it. And there's an ada in the Arabic language, a process in the Arabic language where you emphasize something by repeating it over and over. Mal qari'ah. Don't you know? Aren't you aware? What is this hour? Don't you understand how soon this striking blow will come? Are you not thinking of the day where your hearts will be ripped in fear of it? Wama adraka mal qari'ah. The third ayah. And even if you understood, you could never truly understand it because you haven't experienced it. It's not something that has come to mind, come to your understanding in a way that you will ever truly appreciate its gravity. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةِ. And what could ever make you believe that you've actually understood what this qari'ah is and what it stands for, what its meaning and its reality and its significance is. But to make it an approximate understanding, for you to understand it, Allah gives you imagery. يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. It's on this day where this qari'ah will occur, where this suddenness, this crushing blow, this strike of the final hour, it is a day where mankind will be like moths scattered about. And I want you to picture, you know, this large campfire. It's the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, these, you know, insects are attracted to its glow. And they're brought towards it. They're drawn to it. It's not something they can avoid. They know if they think about it, they can avoid it. If they understand the danger in it, they can avoid it. But if they're just going to be heedless moths who just follow something without thinking of its consequence, they're going to fly right in and enter into that fire. They're going to be singed and brought to destruction. On that day, majority of mankind are going to be led in that way because of the consequence of their deeds, those who don't have an understanding. One of the things that's important to note that the people of Tafsir, they mention Allah says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسِ, mankind. Allah doesn't say the unbelievers. It's mankind, but it's those who are heedless from amongst mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, early on in the revelations in Mecca, He didn't use the word believers, because even the Sahaba who had believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were still in the formation of faith, increasing their faith. That term, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, the classical scholars of tafsir tells us, was only begun to be introduced in the Medina-related surahs, with very few exceptions, you know, Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, and a few sections here and there. Every time you hear Ya Ayyuhan Nas, that surah is a revelation that was revealed in Mecca because people were coming to faith, and it's a warning for them to come to an understanding of their Lord. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. Allah says, those who want to escape, those who don't want to be mindless moths drawn to a fire of destruction. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. Then as for those whose balance of good deeds will be heavy on the day of judgment, those who thought about the balance of life, about investing in good more than debiting in evil, those who thought about giving more than taking, those who established a balanced approach to their existence. They knew not to draw down upon their relationship with Allah, but rather invest in the days to come, that this is something that will be significant to them. When does Allah speak about this balance? He tells us that even you, O mankind, who are worried about being like moth, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ, I want you to think of yourself as being insignificant, that the mountains you see, they're going to be nothing but carded wool, fluff that is scattered in the air. Most of us at times we think that we overestimate ourselves. We overestimate our kindness upon others, our goodness to others. So Allah says, on that day, mankind will be like moths. But it's not just mankind. I want you to see that imagery. The mountains will be nothing like, they'll be like wool. They'll be scattered. They won't have the weight that they have. So if you want to have weight, think about your scale. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. The one whose scale is heavy on the day of judgment with good deeds, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. They have ensured for themselves a pleasant life, meaning in the next life, and they have ensured a حياة طيبة in this life. It's sometimes difficult to reconcile that you have to exert yourself excessively in this worldly life to achieve success in the next life. Sometimes there's things you have to restrict from yourself. And the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari that this dunya sijnul mu'min. It is a place of self-imprisonment for a believer. You put yourself at a distance of the things that other people have access to, but you say, I'm not going to touch that intoxicant. I'm not going to mess around with other people. I'm not going to take things unjustly. I'm not going to invest in that which is unethical. I'm going to restrict myself. It's a self-imposed imprisonment because I seek freedom and liberty in the next life. It's a powerful way of looking at the world. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. The one who makes their scale heavy for the day of judgment, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. They will have a blessed life. A blessed life now, even though it's restricted, but they will feel the ethics of it. Other people can feel inebriated and have the drink and feel euphoria of it and, you know, do whatever they want to do and mess around with other people and have multiple partners and so on. But no, I look forward to sanctifying myself and honoring myself in a way that is pleasing to Allah. It will give you a pleasant hayatan tayyiba. فَلَنُحِيَنَّهُ hayatan tayyiba. They will have a blessed life, but in the next life, it'll be present. وَأَمَّا. And then on the other hand, Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. But the one who doesn't ensure, and the one who depletes their balance from good deeds, the one who comes to Allah with a scale that is empty, has instead of investing good in it, they've taken out good. They've added to it that which is unethical, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. Then their home, that which is familiar and that which they find sukoon and tranquility in, will actually be a pit of hellfire. Look at the words that Allah uses, فَأُمُّهُ, his mother. Literally, the mother is the place you find comfort. It's the place you call home. Home is where you are most nurtured and loved. Allah says their home, where they wanted love, where they sought for love in this worldly life, has built their home to be a pit from fire in the next life. And therefore, the things that give you the greatest comfort in their life should never be things that are in disobedience of Allah. If your comfort is kicking back with friends, doing that which is unethical, smoking and drinking and messing around with other people, if it isn't in finding comfort and justice for others, and it's only about self-service, know that you're leading yourself to a home life in Jahannam. May Allah protect us. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَةٌ. Can you even understand how dangerous that is? How significant this hawiya, this lowly, bottomless pit in Jahannam is? نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. It is the blazing hellfire. أَعَذَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا. May Allah protect you and I from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us to escape the punishment of Jahannam by investing in our future life, by recognizing that there is a day of crushing blow and severity, Al-Qari'ah. May Allah protect us from its crush, from its fear. May Allah give us the reassurance of faith through the tradition and sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I ask you to join me again for another daily tafsir. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim with a surah a day. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.